Well, you know, I just was over the last few days just meditating, waiting, and thinking about what I would share today. And just going forward, I know we're coming into the Passion season. We're not going to share on that, but we've been sharing on redemption. And I just want to stay here for a moment, because I believe the Lord is prompting me, and he was speaking to me, that there are some that need to hear this and need to be reminded that they have the victory in Christ. And I kept hearing that being spoken this morning. We have victory, we have victory, we have victory. And you need to be reminded from the Word of God. We hear exhortations. You have victory in Christ. He lives in you. God lives in me. And his presence is in me. And the mere fact that he lives in me, why? Because he redeemed me. He's taken up residence in me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say greater. Greater. Greater than anything you face. Greater than any obstacle you face. Greater than any opposition you face. Greater than any sickness you face. Greater than any lack that you may have. Greater. He is greater. And the same Spirit that did what? Raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Boy. You know, Romans 10:17 says what? So then what? Faith. You Bible students, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this isn't head knowledge. This is rhema. So faith comes by the rhema, the revealed Word of God, not logos, not just memorizing a scripture, but when that gets down in your spirit, a seed from the Word of God, we're not born again of what? Corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God. And when the Word of God gets down in your heart and you nurture it and you water it and you meditate upon it, it begins to be revealed to you the significance of what you're seeing in there. And when you begin to realize that greater is he that's in me, you know, we can grasp that, but how many realize that you can have further revelation of what that really means? That when you run up against something, when I hear the stories of Brother Hagin, who's in heaven, went to heaven in 2003. But when I read stories, when he said, I was somewhere ministering and I was in bed and death gripped my body. D-E-A-T-H, death. How many of us would not call 911? He said, I pulled the covers up and laughed. And he said, when I laughed, the devil said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you because you're defeated. Death and hell are defeated. And the scripture says that we have the victory over it. So there are deeper depths and further revelation and revealing of just what we have. So that when we run up against something, we can laugh. And you go, well, how is that possible? As You hear and hear and hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Rhema word. Are we all there yet? No. I'm not there yet. But I'm getting there. Because when something happens in your life, you don't freak out. There's peace. And up out of your spirit comes the word of God like a sword. And you're not moved by it. Because as we get closer to the return of Christ, they're going to stuff happen that, I mean, just look what happened during this pandemic. People just forgot who they were. Gets quiet. But we don't take our news from the news. We don't take our instructions from the news. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, am I saying be reckless? No. But you have what? God living on the inside. Do you think he is capable of keeping you protected? Yeah. Do you think he's capable of showing you what to do? Yeah. I think he is. Because now what happened, everybody, I remember this, you know, you need to be ready to take a stand to say, no, I'm not doing that. I refuse to do that. Job or no job, I'm not doing that. You know, well, how am I going to do that? I don't know. But I remember, you know, I just use it as an example. My sister, she works in healthcare. She works in a large nursing home. And so the state of New York, what did the state of New York do? All first responders, all of them. What did they do? New York City, fire, police, everybody, and nurses, everybody. If you want to keep your job, you got to take the jab. Now, I'm not here to take sides. What I'm telling you is I'm sharing something, a story. You have to take a personal position. So she had to do that. But then it got to the place where they said, okay, if you don't take the booster, you lose your job. She said, well, I'll see you. She said, nope, not doing it. I refuse. And she gave their director notice. They said, look, we love you. We don't want to see you go, but I have no choice because it's being mandated by the governor. And what happened? It got thrown out. And the people in her place took the booster shot because they were afraid of losing their job. And she said, no. And you know what they all said to her afterwards? Boy, we wish we would have done what you did. And what have they done? They've rescinded all of the things where your fire department and everybody else in New York City have to give them back pay. Am I telling you to do that? No, what I am saying is don't operate in fear, because if you think this is the last thing that'll ever happen, you're dreaming. And you need to know that you already have the greater one in you. Now, am I saying be reckless or recluse? No, but you hear from him. What are all these things that we're hearing? We know him. We hear him. And he will direct your life and tell you what to do. He will show you what to do. Don't operate in fear. Operate in the love of God. Operate as if you are his child. Operate, talk like you have the victory. That's the thing that keeps coming up in my heart. Talk like what you are. Talk like you are a victorious Christian. Don't talk like you're defeated, like you're some kind of a servant. No, you're not a servant. You're a son and a daughter of God. And yes, we're to honor and obey the government because we should, but there are some things where you just stop and go, nope, not doing it. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just sharing, we have the victory. Because a mighty price was paid with the shed blood of Jesus to redeem us from the power of darkness. And he has no power over my body. He has no power over my finances or yours. And he has no power over you unless you let him have it. And you need to talk the word and remind him that he has no place in your life, no place where your children are concerned, no place where your family is concerned, no place in your life. You need to remind him and talk that way. God has put us here in the earth to do walk. And be his mouthpiece here in this earth. He has come to take up residence, but he wants to operate in and through us and be his reflection here in the earth. How's the earth going to know? How are the people in this earth going to know of this great God that we serve if we bow the knee? How's he going to know that? How are they going to know that? They're not. If we look like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, then they're going, I ain't serving your God. So as we need to grow and keep feeding upon the Word of God, keep meditating in the Word of God. Set your affections, what does it say, 2 Corinthians 4:18? Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For the things that are on this earth are temporal, but the things that are above are eternal. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, the Lord is just prompt. He keeps stirring me that we need to remind ourselves that we have victory. We don't fight from a place to get it. We already have it. I have the victory. Hallelujah. And regardless of what's going on in your life, you need to remind yourself that you have it already. And you keep speaking it. Well, you say, well, I don't see it. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Talk like you have it, because you do. You already have the victory. Glory to God. Some thoughts. We'll just touch on a few thoughts here. But in the theme of what we've been talking about, in him we have redemption. How? Through his blood. We have redemption. What does that mean? If you said to me, I have $1 million, or if you had a, let's just say you said, I have money in my pocket. Well, then that means you're in possession of it. That means it gives you the right to do with it what you want. You don't need to ask permission to use it. You don't need to say, can I spend this money? I'll be praying for your, you know, your brain. You own it. Do something with it. You have redemption. Do something with it. You have it. Do something with what you have. That's what Peter did. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Now, I'm not saying you're not, but just remind yourself, I have redemption. I have victory. What am I doing with the victory that I already have? What am I doing with it? Jesus is coming soon. What are we doing with what we have? That's what he keeps stressing upon me personally. What are you doing with what you have? Because I'm coming soon. Hallelujah. So if we have something, that means I have the possession of it, and I have the ability to use it. That means it's mine. The redemption was given to me. It was a free gift. It is mine. I'm redeemed. What does that mean? That means then if I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, then I should not be allowing sickness to stay in my body. Yeah, it may come. Stuff may come. But you have the ability to do something in the name of Jesus. And that's what? Command it to leave. Well, it's not leaving. Command it to leave. Well, you don't command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Are you saying that your symptoms are greater than the one that's in you? He said, if he's in you, then he quickens your mortal body. He gives life to your body. I will not tolerate sickness and disease in my body. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to look to the greater one, but I'm also going to be listening to him to tell me what I should do and not do. Which is where a lot of us sometimes miss it. We just keep charging down the road, and he's nudging us, change some habits, get more rest, drink more water, do something. And you go, I don't like that. And then we pay the price, but he's been nudging us all along to make some natural adjustments. Right? Lose some weight. Take a walk, get some exercise. I don't like that. Oh. So God is a good God. And he's given us the right, Romans 5:17 in the New Living Translation. Romans 5:17 in the New Living, it says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. What does it tell us to do? It says, I think in the King James, it says, we reign. We triumph. We reign over the devil. Not beneath. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:4, you know this. Whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. You are an overcomer. You overcome the world, and this is the what? The victory that overcometh the world, even what? Our faith. Hallelujah. So I've got the overcoming faith. We've been given a deposit of faith. It needs to be nurtured and it needs to be exercised, and your faith needs to be spoken. What am I saying? You don't talk contrary to the Word of God. You speak what you believe. I have the victory, even when it doesn't look like it. I have health and healing. I have prosperity. Why? Because it's my faith speaking. Not the circumstances, right? The Passion Translation of 1 John 5:4. It says, you see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. What overcomes? What triumphs over the world? Our faith. Faith comes where the will of God is known. What are we saying? Faith is speaking the word of God, releasing what God has promised us. He said, you've been delivered from the power of darkness, and you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That means he does not have, the devil does not have power over you. You've been delivered. You're free. Talk like it. Walk like it. Think like it. This is the Message translation of that verse, 1 John 5:4. It says, every God-born person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. What brings it to its knees? Our faith. This is the Passion Translation, Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. You know, we know what it says in the King James. It says, for it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, and I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. But I like the Passion Translation. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah. And no longer lives. What no longer lives? Your old identity. What does that mean? That means your old way of thinking, your old way of talking. Your old identity has been crucified or co-crucified. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And this is what I wanted to focus on. And now, say now. Yeah, there you go. Even the train agrees. The essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives His life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is what? Empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that He gave Himself for me and dispenses His life into mine. The greater one is in me. His life, the essence of His life, empowers me. So how can I think lowly of myself? How can I think that I'm the sick and not the well? How can I think that I'm not prosperous? How can I think differently than the way He thinks? For if the essence of His life empowers me, what is it saying? I have His mind. I have His mind and His thoughts. First John 4:4. Same theme. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in us. When we run up against things in life where it looks like it can never change, that's just a great opportunity to prove God. You know, so often, and God has been ministering to me, because we're all not, you know, not that we're not there, but we all face things in life that cause us to think things, don't we? Every one of us. We're all different. We all have different things that we face, but we all face something that looks immovable, or it looks like it can't change. It's just a great time to say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for working it out. Thank you that you're working. For it is God in the midst of me working this out. He's working it out. And you begin to praise and thank God for working it out. Trust in the Lord just on Sunday when we feel good. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? Forget you. No, He'll direct your paths. You know, when it says in all your ways acknowledge Him, that means in all your ways profess something. When you say acknowledge, it doesn't just go, yeah, you tip your head and go, mm-hmm. No, in all your ways profess. It's another way of profess Him, professing who He is. He's working things to my good. I'm sure when people had to make a stand in society, and they have to make stands because of things, could be something ungodly. What would you do if you knew something was not right on your job? Would you take a stand? I'm not talking about what happened during a pandemic, but what happens if you saw something that said, that's not right? You know, I remember there was a young lady here. She was here for a number of years. And She started coming to the church here, and she was volunteering and growing in the things of God. And she shared afterwards, you know, she went to Bible school, and then she got married, and she's was in the Tulsa area, and then I think she's in Tennessee now or somewhere in that area. But she was from another country, and she was working off the books, getting cash, because she was not a legal citizen. And the Holy Ghost began to tell her, as she was growing in the things of God, we never preached it from this pulpit, not us. But the Holy Ghost said, you can't continue to do that. That's not right. Now, she had a choice to make. She had a choice to either continue to do it or not. And she wanted to go to college and get an education and grow in society. But she had a choice to make. And the Holy Ghost kept nudging her. And finally, she went to this person who was paying her off the books and said, look, I'm a Christian. I can't do this anymore like this. I can't. And she made a choice. And you know what this person decided to do? Because she stood up for principles that were right, he decided to pay her education to go to college. And she finally got her green card and got all of that all sorted out, but she did what she was directed to do by God. And that's all I'm saying. When you have to make choices in life, don't operate in fear. Operate based on what's being directed by God. You may ask him. Don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. He'll work it out. Glory to God. So when it comes to faith, you know, 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So your faith must be spoken. But I wanted to focus on this scripture verse here, Matthew 12 and verse 34. And I want to look at it in the New Living, because we all pretty much are familiar with, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But I wanted to look at the New Living and the Passion Translation. The New Living says, you brood of snakes. You know, Jesus didn't mince words, did he? You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever in your heart determines what you say. What you store up in your heart is what comes out. The Passion Translation. It says, but you who are known as the Pharisees are rotten to the core. You've been poisoned by the nature of a venomous snake. How can your words be trustworthy if you are rotten within? Ooh. Now listen to this part. It says, for what has been stored up in your hearts will be heard in the overflow of your words. And this is the 20th century New Testament. I like this. This just says it in a way we understand it. What fills a man's heart rises to his lips. So what kind of bubbles out is what you've been storing up. You know, Pastor Sarah, how many remember what Pastor Sarah used to say? When you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what should come out? Toothpaste. If you squeeze you, what should come out? The Word of God, which hopefully is what is stored up. Because what we store in our hearts under pressure is what's going to come out. Mark Hankin said something. He said, my confession is a preview of coming attractions. I like that. When we look at Mark 11:23, I just close with this thought here. God is just reminding us to profess what we believe. Store up things that are good and just and right in our hearts. But our faith-filled words change circumstances. Our faith-filled words move mountains. If we believe what we say and don't doubt. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you what? Pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But one of the things the Lord was prompting me here was looking at the King James, verse 25, and it says, and when you stand praying, forgive. It's all in the same context. He's saying, do your saying, do your praying, you're releasing faith, but when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And look at verse, they'll put this up on the screen in the Passion Translation. In verse 25, it says, whenever you stand praying, if you find that you're carrying something in your heart against another person. That says it plain, doesn't it? If you find that you're carrying something against another person in your heart, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. You know, it made me think here, if you, and I somehow I got to get that link again, but I've shared it before on that tribe that was in Africa in the 30s, and they call them the Shining Ones. And the reason they call them the Shining Ones was because their skin shined. And they began to glow with the glory of God. And he said, you know, if somebody in that area, this was in Rwanda, and they said their skin would begin to glow. And they said this just didn't happen over a short period of time, but they said this happened over a period of about 30 years, where they began to do what? Forgive. If they had aught against someone, they forgave them, and they were quick to do it. and they began to glow. There was a transformation that happened, a metamorphosis. They said the life of God began to shine through them. And I believe that that's possible. But if we pray, or we're saying we need to, your ought against someone or carrying something in your heart will affect your words. It'll affect your faith. So whether you're saying or praying, it will affect it. In James 5:16, we know it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The New International Version says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What does it say? They'll put this up. This is the New Life Translation. It says, the prayer from the heart of a man right with God has much power. So what is that saying? Let's put this all in context here. We're talking about we have the victory. We want to speak the victory. We want to think the victory, but we don't want to carry aught against anyone, because it will affect that. It'll affect your thinking. It'll affect your speaking. So, yes, we have the victory, and we need to think and talk like it. But we need to be quick to forgive, because it's not just among church members, but it's people you interact with in the world. Look what goes on. Road rage. My goodness. Look what's happening. I mean, just where was it recently? They said the local school system here, some student brought a gun to school. It's becoming the norm where you got children bringing loaded guns to school because somebody, they have a what? An ought against somebody and want to do somebody harm. Well, we need to not step over in that camp. I'm not saying anybody's bringing a gun to do harm, but I'm saying it'll affect your faith. And we want to make sure we're walking with effective power and effective words. So be quick to forgive, quick to let something go. Your flesh don't want to. Your flesh wants to hold on and give them the business, or her. But be quick. Tell your flesh to just be quiet. Tell your mind to stop. And just begin to do what? Acknowledge him in everything, and he'll direct your path. He'll show you what to do. Do good to those that despitefully use you. Jesus knew. He knew the flesh would fight you. But you just do what? You speak like you have the greater one. Your flesh and your thoughts are not greater than the greater one. Yield to the greater one. Yield to his life, and you'll overcome. Oh, yeah. Yield to that greater one. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but we overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us what? Hold fast the profession of our faith. What? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Remember, the essence of his life is in me. I can yield to that or I can yield to the flesh. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice we all go through every day. Somebody cuts you off. Bless them, Lord. I'm getting better at that. First Timothy 6 and verse 12 in the King James, what does it say? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and what? Has professed a good profession before what? Many witnesses. What do? You profess a good profession before many witnesses. And it says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus. But what does it say? Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed what? A good confession. Christ Jesus, even before Pontius Pilate, witnessed a good confession. So when you stand before people, be ready with a good witness. Hallelujah. Let them know, let them know who you really stand for. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And they'll put these two verses up, the Johnson paraphrase translation. It says, I can do everything I need to do because Christ is energizing the center of my life. Christ is the greater one. He is energizing the center of my life, and because of that, I can do all things. And the Barclay translation, I like this, he who fills me with his dynamic power has made me able to cope with any situation. Any situation that you are faced with, you can cope with because he's energizing you with his life. Say, I can cope with any situation that I face because Christ's life is energizing me. Think like that. Talk like that. You know, your mind will tell you, we're not going to do it. It's not going to work. Yes, it is. Faith changes things. Your faith will move mountains. Your faith-filled words will change something. Walk in the love of God. Walk in forgiveness. And your words will change situations that you're confronted with. Didn't say it was going to change overnight, but I'll tell you, it will change. It will change. Glory to God. I just keep sensing there are folks need to just grab hold of this, whether you're online or here. Whatever you're facing, it will change. Don't, you know, one of the things the Lord keeps reminding me, when discouraging thoughts come, they come to all of us. It's not going to change, not going to change, not going to change, not going to change, not going to change. And I say, shut up. I don't say shut up. I'll tell you what I do do. I release faith-filled words. When the thoughts come in a particular area that you're not seeing something, I get up and I say, but the Lord said such and such and such and such, and it comes from here. Because I said, I will not be denied something God has promised me. I will not be denied that. And you back up in Jesus' name and stir your heart up. Because when you do, all those thoughts of discouragement, they begin to just melt away. And what happens is you begin to stir up faith out of your heart. And you can begin to laugh and you go, ha, 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 you're defeated. It's coming to pass. Glory to God. Hey, God is good. And everything, you know, one of the things that God keeps reminding me is that the prophecies spoken over this ministry will come to pass. He keeps reminding me, what were the words spoken to Noah? God said, build an ark. He didn't tell him it was going to flood the whole earth. He said, build the ark. And so the same thing. Words that have been spoken over this ministry will come to pass. And I'm telling you, God will honor that. We need to hold on to that, take hold of the things that he's spoken, because they will come to pass. He didn't just, by happenstance, have Dr. Price, who's now in heaven, in 1990, speak words. I remind folks, I play it every once in a while, just to remind us of what he said, what God said through him. To me, it's no different whether it is ministry or personal. If he said in this Bible that by his stripes ye were healed, then it's settled. You don't have to question, gee, I wonder if it's God's will to heal me or not. No, he took the stripes for you. It is his will. Take hold of it. And then you tell your body to line up to the word of God. Release your faith-filled words. You are redeemed from sickness and disease. You're redeemed from lack and poverty. You're redeemed from fear. We're redeemed. And so I just keep reminding myself that I'm redeemed. Keep meditating upon it. Keep thinking about it. And when things come up in our lives that make us think contrary to that, or any contrary thought, you've got to release words of faith. Have a good confession. Profess a good confession before many witnesses. You may have to stand alone. That's all right. God's watching. He's watching. Praise God. How many are redeemed? How many are blessed? I am blessed of the Lord. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed coming out. My house is blessed. My basket is blessed. My storehouse is blessed. I am a blessed man. You are a blessed person. Why? Because he lives in you. You're redeemed by his blood. Don't you dare let the devil steal from you. You're in covenant with God through his precious blood. Glory to God. And the devil cannot have what you've been promised unless you let them have it. Glory to God. Glory to God. This ministry is going to do and not only did great and mighty things, but is going to do greater things. And I'm not moved by what we see or feel. I was sharing with Pastor Greg, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, you need to go back and listen to Dr. Price. Go back and listen to that. He took 5 minutes and said, I said, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You need to go back and stir your heart up and listen to it. Listen to what God said through him. He said in that prophecy in 1990, how many years is that in your quick little brain? How many years ago was that? How many? Yeah. So I'm not moved by a month, 2 months, a year, 10 years, 20 years. I'm not moved by that. I'm moved by what he said. He said, we're not staying in this building because it's too small for what God has planned. Too small. And you look around and you go, well. So God's hand is upon this ministry. His hand was upon it. He raised it up. Pastor Clinton and Sarah, before they were pastors, yielded to that nudge. What did Pastor Sarah say? She said, God said, you weren't my first choice. There were many others, but did not obey. You obeyed. And there are many that should have stayed here that did not obey and left for whatever reason. Yeah, we know that many relocated, all that, but many left, just like they left Rhema when Brother Hagin died. People leave for all kinds of reasons. I'm not moved, but I'm going to tell you right now, those things that God spoke will come to pass. And that's my profession, and I'm sticking with it. Sticking with it. Because really, your confession, I don't mean to elongate this, but your confession and profession and your words spoken, there are generations in the balance. And that's the point. It's about having a heart for people that haven't even come here yet, people that are lost, people that are hurting. There's going to be a place for them to come. And God has assigned this place for something greater, for something bigger. And so it's not about the bigger or the greater, it's his assignment. And if you don't stick with it, there are generations that can be affected and not reached. And so it's about having that thought that we are going to see it through. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold fast to a good profession. God is good. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being ambassadors for you. Thank you for being your mouthpiece here in this earth. We consecrate our mind and our bodies and our flesh and our heart to you. You are our master, and we yield ourselves to you for what you desire in Jesus' name. And Father, we just lift up this area in which we live. We thank you, Father, for laborers that you're sending into the harvest. for you're the Lord of the harvest. And we ask you to send laborers, for you're coming soon. And Father, we want to be those perfect laborers. Send us, Father, in Jesus' name. Send us across people that are hurting. Send us across the paths of people who are ready to hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Well, before we leave, and I will always do this, before we unhook here or online, if there's anybody here that is not saved or doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, the Scripture tells us to believe with our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And if you do that, as Scripture says, you shall be saved. And so if you take a moment here with us, and we'll do that, if you're here today in person or if you're online, we just take a moment to profess with your mouth what you believe. And the Scripture says you'll be saved. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Redeemer of all mankind. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I believe that you were raised from the dead. Thank you that you took my sins. You took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead. Cleanse me, O God, of unrighteousness. And I thank you now for salvation. Make something new of me in Jesus' name. And I'll serve you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that simple prayer from your heart, then you've become a brand new person in Christ. Your nature has changed. Your spirit has changed. And now we just encourage you to get connected with a good Bible teaching church where the love of God is evident, the Word of God is taught, the power of God is, and the power of God is manifested, which be us. And if you can't join here, then join somewhere where they're teaching the Word of God, where you can be nurtured and cared for. But if you've asked Jesus into your heart, just let us know today. We'll give you something to let you know what happened to you today. And if you did so online, just email us or call us, and we'll send that to you. Glory to God.